Hey, it's Jed Hearn, host of Wizards, Warriors, and Words. If you're enjoying the writing advice on this show, you might like my new podcast, The Jed Hearn Show, where every week I share the best fantasy writing advice that I've learned from publishing 3 fantasy novels and a best-selling video game. There's over 12 episodes that you can listen to right away, including my top 10 fantasy books of all time, how to make fantasy names that don't suck, 2 rules that make writing effortless, and my complete summaries of Brandon Sanderson's and Neil Gaiman's writing classes, and much more. Check it out by searching for The Jed Hearn Show in your podcast app.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
All right, welcome everybody to a special crossover episode of SFF Addicts and Wizards, Warriors, and Words. I'm Adrian M. Gibson, host of SFF Addicts and producer, editor of Wizards, Warriors, and Words, nepotism for the win. And today we will be chatting about SFF podcasting, and co-hosting this mad adventure with me is none other than Jed Hearn, host of Wizards, Warriors, and Words, and author of Siege of Treblane, The Thunder Heist, and more. Take it away, Jed.
Thanks for having me, Adrian. I am the aforementioned Jed Hearn, host of Wizards, Warriors, and Words, and I'm joined by my fellow hosts of the Wizards, Warriors, and Words podcast, starting with Rob J. Hayes.
Hello, I am Rob J. Hayes, author of many books, including the recently released Titan Hoppers, which you should all go and read right now. Just turn off the podcast, go get yourself a copy, read it.
I bought mine.
Nice. Now that everyone's
left, if you're in the UK,
Michael Fletcher.
Greetings. I am Michael R. Fletcher, author of a bunch of books and the Obsidian Path trilogy. And I haven't read Titan Hoppers because it's not fucking available in paperback yet.
It's all right.
Damn it, Rob.
You wouldn't like
Rob
it anyway. Nice. It's not you. You would hate it.
Oh.
Only smart, intelligent, and handsome and humble readers would like Titan Hoppers.
Yeah, sure.
You got me on the humble one.
And not smelly. You forgot not smelly and sober.
That's it. I forgot that bit. And that's our last host.
Oh, crap.
Today.
Right,
that's
two
Dirk
more.
Ashton calling in as well. Dirk, you want to introduce yourself?
I am Dirk Ashton, and I am the author of the Paternus Trilogy.
And if you're in the UK, you can buy Titan Hoppers with alcohol.
Yeah.
On Amazon.
On Amazon.
We just learned.
You can buy it along with
it?
Alcohol, or do you mean you can just buy it from me with alcohol? Because
No, directly from Rob. You can just buy it right from Rob.
I thought you could buy an alcoholic version of Titan Hoppers.
I'll send you a special edition of Titan Hoppers with my homemade moonshine.
Yeah. I mean, UK should advertise that if they're looking for people to move. Just say, move to England where you can buy booze on Amazon.
Exactly.
I can't believe you guys can't buy booze from Amazon.
I can't. I think we can in the US.
It's because Canada and the US are backwards countries.
Fucking
they don't know how to do alcohol.
Bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. This is like new age, what's it called?
I mean,
shit. When in the 1920s, they banned alcohol. I can't remember what that was called.
Prohibition.
There we go.
Yeah.
I mean,
to
be fair,
Amazon is partnered
with one of our major supermarket chains in England. So we buy it from Amazon, but it actually comes from the supermarket. So
do you have to prove you're 21?
Okay.
Yes. Well, I say 16, prove. You basically, they go, what year were you born? You're like, this year. And they're like, yeah, that'll do.
That checks out.
Yeah, 21 is only in the US.
Yeah,
nobody else waits that long.
And then they look at
18 is like the standard 18? Everywhere else. Yeah,
it's 19 and 18 in some parts of Canada. Yeah,
well, in the US, I think that's probably a good idea.
I think so too. Although they should probably turn it around. It's like you can buy alcohol at 18, you can buy guns at 21. That would be a better way to do
just reverse.
You can buy guns before you can buy alcohol.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Makes no sense.
The fucking backward.
Makes no sense.
So, reeling this podcast in.
Yes.
Welcome to our political episode.
Well, man, this is great when I don't have to do any hosting and I can just let Adrian deal with all the chaos instead.
Well, if we do that.
Dude, I have so much chaos on my podcast.
That's so the kids get at least a few years of shooting sober before they start shooting drunk.
Jesus.
Okay, that's totally fair, Dirk.
Yes,
very,
that's the order.
Very sensible of the United States. Yeah, I appreciate that. So away from guns and booze and Titan hoppers and whatever the fuck else, the impetus for this panel was me being asked by a friend why I started SFF Addicts. And, you know, now that I've gotten to know you guys, I thought it would be awesome to bring us together to sort of unravel the question of why the fuck do we even podcast? But first, I'll toss it to you, Jed, just to explore the origin story of Triple W. What was your origin in terms of like getting started with podcasting?
He lied. He totally tricked us.
I forced him to
He was like, oh, Rob and Dirk have already said yes to me. And they
had the same thing.
I didn't even know Mike.
I know.
So Rob and Mike already said yes.
That's right.
He lied to all of us and we all fucking fell for it.
Ponzi scheme. And it all worked. And it's been happily ever after ever since.
You guys don't see any of that Patreon money.
No.
Wait, we have a Patreon?
Wait, we get
that money
paid
goes
for this?
To me.
What? Yeah, it actually does. Adrian, you've been paid more for this than anybody on the this episode.
It's because I do more work than any of you. So
but any multiple of zero is a lot more.
That's it. An infinite amount,
or a lot of nothing.
Answering your question.
But Jed, you started podcasting with other projects before you started
That's
Wizard.
Right.
So tell me a bit about that.
Yeah. So my first podcast was a thing called The Novel Analyst Show, and it was a solo podcast where I would break down a story that I really liked and try to take some useful writing lessons from it. So
it was 90% Brandon Sanderson.
It was a large amount of Brandon Sanderson. There was a lot of Joe Abercrombie in there as well. I think the first three episodes were like Abercrombie, Rothfuss, possibly Sanderson. I can't remember.
Is that stuff up? Is that stuff still up online?
Yeah, still up. It's actually...
You need to put it in the show notes.
Yeah, I will. I'll pop it in the show notes. Adrian, I'll pop it in the show notes. Yes. cheers. Wow, this is really revealing how the sausage is made, isn't it?
Leave your sausages out of it.
Yeah, Dirk.
Yeah, so basically I ran that podcast for about 2 years or so. And I really enjoyed it. I had a lot more time when I was doing that because I was back in uni. So I was able to like really prepare the episodes and create scripts for them and everything. And after doing that for a couple of years, I realized that what I really enjoyed was chatting with other authors and the preparation that was needed for like those individual episodes was like quite high. So basically I was like, oh, I don't know if this is sustainable for me to continue doing it. And I decided that I sort of wanted to move to a different type of podcast altogether. So that was where I think around the same time, there was a fantasy group that all four of us were part of. I think it was Grimdark Readers and Writers on Facebook or something like that. And whoever runs that group.
How in the hell did you choose us?
Well, this is literally why. This is literally
we were
why.
Your so, last choice. He went all the way down this list of 29 people, and we were in.
I had to flip just 20 pages.
Can
back
I find
in the
three
find
older
it.
Gentlemen to help me out in this endeavor?
That's it. And it was eventually number 99.
Makes it sound a little bit That's sleazy, right. doesn't it? I need three older it gentlemen does, to help me out.
Really dodge.
And the first time Dirk has ever been called a gentleman, but.
Yeah,
a refined man of taste.
A refined science fiction and fantasy author.
AKA old as fuck.
I wish I could say that I'd done that much research into like when I was like reaching out to you guys, but it was literally. Yeah, that's right. But instead,
I might have not reached out to you, you know.
Yeah, that's it. It would have been so much nicer if I had never known you guys existed. No, I'm joking. But yeah, basically, like we were in that fantasy writing group, and whoever like moderated the group basically put out a call and asked like If you're an author and you'd like to do a Facebook Live and basically just talk about your book a bit, answer some reader questions, let us know. And I saw, Rob, that you were doing one of those, I think. So I thought, I'll give this a try.
Yeah, it was around the time that I released Along the Razor's Edge, so I was just like doing promos all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been the start. And at the same time, Mike and Dirk, you both did lives in that group as well. And I was listening to you guys talk and I was like, these people really, really get it. Like, they have a really interesting way of approaching story and a really interesting kind of back catalog of their works. So I messaged Rob, first.
Did he just pay us a compliment?
He did.
Don't pay too much attention to it. Don't
it's recorded. It's recorded for all prosperity. We will never forget this.
No. That's right.
You will never let you forget it.
Print out this moment. Have it play as a looping snippet in a TV at your house until the TV burns out.
The moment Jed was nice to us.
Yeah, that's it.
Jed the taskmaster.
One time.
If only Jed was nice to us. So basically, I think I reached out to Rob first and I was like, I'd be interested in like kind of creating a, writing advice podcast that's similar to Writing Excuses, which was something that really inspired me a lot back in the day, hosted by a couple of authors. And
Brandon Sanderson.
Yes, that's it. I was going to say his name, but there we go. Someone put it in there. My hero. So yeah, basically I reached out to Rob and I was like, I heard Mike and Dirk talk and they seem really cool. Have you had much contact with them? Do you reckon they'd be interested in like doing a podcast together? And that was literally all
I of course said, no, not those two. Like, don't do it.
Yeah. Anybody except them. And from that,
well, he asked me the same thing. I said, well, Rob and I cuddled for a whole weekend at Christmas.
You're like, yeah, that's someone I want to reunite with. So
rekindle the romance.
A couple of test episodes from that, I think, and then we were off and rolling, and we haven't stopped since, despite all the protests that people.
Yeah, I remember when it was, let's do one or two, see how it goes.
Yeah, yeah.
We're all kind of busy. Let's see. Mm. That was what, 2 years ago now?
Yep,
that's crazy.
2020, we started this podcast. So yeah, we've been doing it for 2 years and. It feels like more in recent months it's kind of taken off a lot more. Like, our Patreon has been amazing. Like, we've got 32 people on there now, and like, our people on our Patreon are the reasons why we were able to hire Adrian to edit the episodes, which kind of freed me up from having to do that and also improved the quality a lot. And it's also let like us reinvest in like this new microphone is from Patreon money and that sort of thing. So yeah, it's grown a lot in the last probably year or so, I would say.
Yeah.
Out of curiosity,
Now I'm going to tell you guys the real reasons.
Okay.
That we do this and that why just about anybody else does, why people as awesome as like Mike Carey come on our show like they did just this week. It's because we all live in our little heads at home with no one to talk to about books.
Correct.
Or writing. Correct. And we just rarely, very rarely get a chance to actually talk to other people that do what we do. So we get a chance to do it. I mean, for me, that's a huge, huge part of it. It's just such a kind of a, I mean, it's like, I gotta get up and do another recording. But then it's like, I get to talk to those guys. So
yes. And a number of times I've had that experience of being
that,
like,
and
tired.
It does. It does sell books. It does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, people buy books because they see us on the podcast.
It's a good job. People
that's
buy
secondary.
Books.
That's secondary for me, but that's the real reason we do it. And that's why, you know, Mike Carey doesn't really get. I mean, he's the same as we are, even though he's a big famous trad pub author.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of these folks, same thing. They just don't have that many people to talk to about what we do.
Yeah, I felt the same thing with SFF Addicts. It's like, I get like, we have this DM chain on Twitter for FanFi Addict, and then we have another one for the podcast, and we have a bunch of different related DM threads. But all the time I get asked, like, how the fuck do you get those people on the podcast?
Yeah.
I'm just like, I just kind of
like, that's why
I email
honestly.
Them. Or like, sometimes it's like I have like a mutual connection, or sometimes it's like I literally go to the contact form on their website and they respond to me and I'm just like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Like that happened, you know?
But you know who we, cool. Okay. Anybody who's listening, if anybody knows how to talk to, how to get a hold of Joe Abercrombie.
Oh, yes.
I can connect you guys with Joe Abercrombie.
Are you serious?
Yeah. David Walters had him. He had him on TBRCon panel. So he's got his.
No name, way.
So.
That would be freaking amazing.
Yeah.
I'll message Age of Madness trilogy. So I would love to talk with him.
I'll message David and see if we can put you guys in touch.
No, I
so
I've
are we thinking like
Joe.
A succubus thing. We get him on the show and then we siphon off his power for ourselves.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, his correct. Talent. Yeah. Just like
and I think we should tell him that we don't right have any of that in the show.
That's it.
This is gonna be like a live exorcism kind of deal. We're just
live
gonna suck it all
up. Joe Abercrombie.
That
we're
sounds
gonna,
like a good story.
Title right there.
We're going to exercise his talent and then pull it into ourselves, just like, yes. You know.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
He's
the
goal. Definitely not going to want to be on Triple W after, and he's going to be like, fucking weirdos, I'm out.
Yep.
Mike and I'll wear our black hooded robes.
Yes. Rob will provide the candles. He'll buy them on Amazon with some beer.
Nice.
I'll have you know, yeah. I make my own.
I have
candles.
One of those weird Ouija board things.
Oh, there you go. He's got like beeswax candles or something. Yeah.
I do. I make my own beeswax candles.
And
soy candles. I do. I picked it up a few months ago. I was just like, you know what? I fancy just making candles. So I started doing.
Oh, that's pretty neat.
That is the most like fantasy author thing ever.
Do you harvest and crush?
That's like slice of life fantasy author kind of stuff. You gotta start writing slice
of life. Crush your own soybeans?
No, I buy the wax online. I must admit, I buy the wax online.
Do you harvest and crush your own bees?
Yeah.
It's weird. In Canada, we just have electricity, so we don't use candles.
And when the power goes out, who the fuck uses candles? We have a flashlight, man.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you talking about?
In Ecuador, I would imagine it goes out a bit.
It went out
a lot in Costa Rica.
Yeah. We live in a pretty small neighborhood on the outskirts of Quito, and there's like, every once in a while you hear a transformer just go boom, and then car alarms go off, and then the power goes out for like 10 seconds. And then I look at my wife and say, that doesn't on purpose, but they give you notice if they shut it down.
Yeah.
But I look at my wife in those moments and I'm just like, we live in a ghetto third world country, but I love it. So
that's not very nice.
She knows it. She accepts it.
And then she slaps the shit out of you.
No, she laughs because she knows she comes from a third world country. I love Ecuador, but it's like, you know, South America's a bit of a mixed bag.
Yeah.
At least you're not having to rely on candles like poor Rob in the UK.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, to be
what
honest,
about you, Rob
so
and
backwards.
First
we don't even have wheels yet.
We just it's figured like out how to like make triangular wheels in Australia. So they're better than just the square ones, but they're still not quite as good.
It's fine
as long as you've got like a road with grooves in it so they just fit in very
That's
nice.
Right.
No. Yeah.
Like an
it's like all those old Roman roads that you guys are still following.
Jed, that's not true. Square wheels are far superior to triangular wheels.
It's like Canada and South Park. Yeah.
Rob and Mike, what about you guys? Like, let's jump back to the origin of the podcast. And
there are
going to
be a lot
like,
of tangents
initial thoughts and everything.
Rob, you want to take this first?
Yeah, I basically, obviously... Jed asked me to come on, and I thought, yeah, why not? Because I got on well with Dirk and Michael, and it's just fun. You know, I've been doing a bunch of podcasts around that sort of time because it was during plague months, wasn't it?
Yes,
where it was like could no longer go out of the house, so podcasts seemed to be the only way that I was actually getting to talk to anyone. So I've done a bunch of them, and I'd sort of stopped being scared of them, and it turns out they're actually quite fun. So I just thought, why not? And then it turns out that, you know, you get some good ideas and everything, and get to meet a lot of new authors who I'd never have got to meet because they live across the other side of the world from me. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Or even that you haven't met that live in the same country.
That's true.
The same tiny little
baby
country.
We're such a big country that it takes so long to get from one place to another.
When you're in your horse-drawn cart, it takes days to get across the far
horse-drawn
expanse.
Horse-drawn cart with triangular wheels.
England.
Oh, with triangular wheels, man, it takes ages.
What about you, Mike?
I remember, I think you approached me, and at the time, I'm not sure. I don't remember if you mentioned Robin Dirk right away, but my first thought was like, who the fuck is this?
I didn't know who Jed was either.
He still thinks that.
Honestly, my first response was like, oh, fuck off. No. But then he lied and said,
and he
that,
said that
Dirk and Rob had already agreed. And I was like, ah, oh, fuck. Yeah, I might be missing out on something. I figured I'd try it. And, you know, in for a couple episodes, I expected it to be really awkward. But we seemed to hit a groove like fairly quickly where we were just, it was relaxed. It was really comfortable. It was a lot. We were hanging out and chatting. Mm. And I have done a shit ton of podcasts and interviews. Yeah, and there are a lot of hosts who are not good at it. You know, it's mostly about them and you happen to be a sounding board for whatever they want to talk about.
Yeah.
Or
and they get asked,
they've got this really scripted questions. Yeah. And if
it's all
if you're
the
not
same sure, questions,
it's always the same shit, right? Whereas we are chaotic and unprepared.
No script.
but it's easy. It's fun.
But that's the charm.
I think that's why people like listening to it is because it's not a scripted thing with a bunch of intelligent people. It's, you know, four half-wits and a hopefully smarter guest.
And somebody
I think that's
who's
why
smart.
Like and, the guests come on as well, because we've had guests on. Like, I remember Will White coming on and saying, this is just about the most fun podcast I've ever done, because you guys just
he said
chat.
Anytime you guys want me on again, anytime. Yeah, that's what's cool is that I get those, like, we take turns sometimes inviting different people that we know, and I just always get these awesome. Mike Carey sent one too, just was like, that was a blast.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so
we make them look good.
Yeah, exactly. Doesn't take much.
Yeah, that's
power
right
of comparison.
We just
look at
our regular dumb selves.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna start using that way as our pitch now to guests. Just be like, we are so dumb that if you come on, you will look like a absolute savant of writing.
I mean, I'm fairly certain that is literally accurate with Joe Abercrombie.
Yeah. Yes.
But Dirk, I'm so excited for you and Mike to be on with Anthony Ryan on the 1 year anniversary. Jed, you're just because of time zone, I couldn't invite you.
He's going to do it too, Anthony Ryan.
Yeah, so I'm pairing you guys up with. So we're doing a 1 year anniversary episode coming up soon, and I paired Dirk and Mike with Anthony Ryan, and then
Anthony, the link you sent? Oh my god, that's like weeks in advance. I've already lost it.
I didn't.
I'm so prepared.
No, I didn't send you like. No. The link I sent you was for this one.
What? You emailed the link for? Oh, all right, yeah. Weird. I'm confused.
No.
We're just so not used to getting links in advance.
God, that's why. That's why I edit.
5 minutes after the episode starts.
Mike, this is why I am in charge of editing and producing Wizards Wears and Words.
Probably, you know? Probably good.
It's definitely for the better.
Yeah.
Oh man, Jed, I'll toss it to you if you want to ask me anything.
Yeah, I would love to. What kind of drew you into podcasting? Because I think you kind of have approached it from a slightly different place to where I've done, where, you know, I was going into this episode, into creating this podcast to try to like become a better writer, try to share some of the stuff that I've learned, and also hopefully to like sell some books along the way as well. And you came into this, correct me if I'm wrong, with like nothing published yet. Like, I know you're working on a novel, but yeah, like what sort of drew you to start up your podcast?
I mean, dude, podcasting for me has been like, it has been such a major part of my life for a really long time. I think the first podcast that I ever listened to was One Up Yours, was a video game podcast from a website called One Up back in like 2000, I think it was like 2007 or something like that.
So like just a couple of years ago.
Just a couple of years ago, man. Because I was really bad. I was like, I'm still
not that far.
Yeah,
dude, this
neither.
Is one of the, like,
was like
this is one of the OG. I mean, I guess I've been like listening to podcasts for 15 fucking years, but
whoa,
yeah, but I was in on it really early, but it was all video game podcasts at the beginning, and it was like IGN and 1UP were these two video game websites. And I think 1UP is gone now, unfortunately, but IGN still has their podcast going. But I just love video games so much, and I didn't have anyone to talk to about them. And so this was kind of my way of being like having a conversation in my head about the games that I was playing or the games that I was excited for. And then that just kind of kept going and going. And I started listening to more podcasts from a greater variety. And I think probably like 5 years ago, things really took off in terms of like the variety of podcasts that you can find.
For sure.
So I was listening to like history podcasts like Dan Carlin. I started listening to the Joe Rogan Experience. You know, there's a sort of like more political podcasts that I've started listening to as well. And really it's like, I have my staple. It's like, I've kind of sort of narrowed it down to like 12 podcasts that I will listen to, including yours. Although I'm editing now and it feels weird to like listen to a podcast afterwards, but yes. I've just been like, spent way too much time with your voices.
I know. I'm kind of tired. For you forever.
It's like, I can't like listen to just like a full episode on my phone anymore. It's like, no, I listen to it enough during the editing process. But I now have like a staple where it's like, there's some podcasts that are for writing, some podcasts about history, some about politics, some that are about video games, and some that are just kind of like, you know, about like health or whatever. Andrew Huberman is a good one.
Yeah, he's got a good podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I've just been enamored with the podcast space for a really long time. And then I have a friend in Vancouver who's American and he's from San Diego and he's super, super political.
You have friends?
Of course. I'm not just like some loner who lives in the mountains.
Where
in
do
Ecuador.
You guys get those?
I think you go to the Amazon store and you order them.
Yeah, with a bottle of booze, you can order them.
Why is Amazon getting so much free promotion in this episode? What are we doing?
Fuck
guys?
Amazon. Although it provides the livelihood for all
us,
of
I'm
you.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, please do. Please do.
Audible, are you listening? Amazon, are you listening?
We were talking about that earlier today. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for promotion. So this friend from the US, he lives in Vancouver, but he's super political. And me and him, whenever we meet up, we have conversations. And he just gets super hyped up when all like the political bullshit is going on in the United States because it's a chaos country. But he sort of pitched me on this idea of like, you know, we were having a conversation with his dad over a bottle of wine. And his dad was just like, you guys should start a podcast. Like his dad of all people was the one who suggested like, you guys should just start a podcast. Cause this conversation was very, you know,
intense
like yours, but more like intense and political leaning,
but
and
more intelligent,
more intelligent. Yeah. And so for years, like much. this was back in like 2016 when all that crazy Trump shit was happening, leading up to the election. And we just kind of tossed the idea around there a bunch and years passed. I was living in Berlin, so it would have been difficult for us to do that. And then I moved to Ecuador, so it would still be difficult for us to do that. But now I realize like virtual podcasts are not a big deal and we could have pulled it off. Regardless, you know, this idea was tossed around for a long time and we just never followed through with it. And then I realized like, I really want to start podcasting. And when I started writing for FanFi Addict, David Walters was tossing ideas around of like, if any of you want to do something that's like experimental or what have you, just like toss the ideas out there. If we can collaborate, awesome. If it ends up being like a solo venture, cool. And then I just said like, I want to start a podcast, you know, because it's been something that I wanted to do forever. And nobody else wanted to. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do it on my own then. and just, you know, started putting together some ideas in July of last year, you know, making a list of like panel ideas and sort of the structure for it, how I wanted to do everything, that I wanted to bring on authors. And basically, you know, for me, since I haven't published anything and I want to get published eventually, this was like my opportunity to just learn a shitload of stuff from authors that are already writing and publishing. And just absorbing as much information as I can from them about topics that interest me. And then topics that, you know, just based on the fact that they're on the panel, I know interest them as well. And the first panel that I did kind of blew my fucking mind because one of the guys from FanFiAddict was doing the website design for SPSFC. And so my first panel was with Hugh Howie and Duncan Swan, who are the two people running SPSFC. And I was like,
that's pretty huge.
Shit. My first guest is Hugh Howie. And I just kind of sat there and just tried to, you know, figure out my shit and just collect my thoughts. It was like, I've been reading this guy for like 10 years and now he's going to come onto my podcast. So I was trying to, you know, rope in any fanboy sort of vibes that I had going on, because it was fierce. My fanboying was fierce before I recorded with them. And
I never bother roping it in. I'm like,
But the thing is, Dirk, it's like I have like multiple authors who I'm just like really big fan of on the same panel. So it's like I can't be like fanboy with you and fanboy with you and fanboy with you, and just like everything just falls apart.
It's like, I've met a lot of really famous people, but there's only one though who ever famous authors and actors. But when I worked in film, but there's only one author that ever actually made me kind of get weak in the knees. And that's when I was standing in line. It was no big deal. I was getting a book signed, and it was William Gibson.
Oh, and I would have been the
once,
same.
Once I was standing right in front of him and he was looking up at me, I started to go, and I never had that happen before. I had just been talking to Joe Abercrombie and Scott Lynch and Steven Erickson just earlier that day. Just fine. No problem. Just chatting with the boys. And and then I'm there in front of William Gibson and I'm like,
Yeah.
And everybody was shocked when I walked away because he grinned because I asked him how he was holding up.
And he's, like you're his manager or something coming up. Hey, Gibson, how you doing? You holding up?
How you holding up, bud?
I said, I am a huge fan. How are you holding up? You've been here for a while. And he was just like, he grinned and we just started talking. And
that's amazing.
Nice.
Actually, just building off of that, William Gibson lives in Vancouver where I lived for 5 years, and my ex-girlfriend worked at a cafe, and it turns out he was a regular at that cafe. And this this was when I was already in Berlin, and we've stayed in touch, my ex-girlfriend and I, and she was like, hey, so, you know, this author that you talked about a lot while we were together, and, he's a regular at my cafe, and we just like started chat. I'm like, fuck me. Like, why am I not in Vancouver? Like at this cafe, just having a conversation with William Gibson. Like, oh my God.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So she became friends with William Gibson, you know, taking his order at a cafe. And I'm just like, son of a bitch.
That's awesome.
Why am I in Quito? No.
So if I've learned one thing from Dirk's story, it's the best way to make friends with really famous authors and like is when you know, encounter them or sign anything, just pull up a chair and sit next to them like you're best friends with them. Like, it's a power move, brah.
Like your colleague. Huge power move.
No, but I think how you holding up is like the perfect line, because if you ask anyone how you holding up, they're just like, how am I holding up? Am I okay? You know, it's not like, why would you ask me that?
It's just
like, shit, man. It's like, am I tired? Like, what's going on?
And then I actually got down on one knee to show him the Kings of the Wild book.
To propose to him.
That's why I thought this was going.
To show him, because it was easier than leaning over.
There's a ring hidden in this book.
And he didn't have to look up. So I got somebody took some awesome pictures. And one of them is
of you proposing to William Gibson.
William Gibson.
Did he say yes?
It's beautiful. That's
he
beautiful
said day. Yes, he would sign it.
Nice.
He's just like, just toss this ring away. Yeah. Small steps, Dirk. Small steps.
Adrian, it's interesting that you had that experience, because I know the first time I interviewed someone back in 2018 on the Novel Analyst podcast, I was interviewing an author called Gabriel Berg-Moser, and his podcast had actually really inspired me to get into the podcasting game, because he had an amazing podcast, which sadly no longer runs, called Movie Maintenance, where every episode they would basically take a film that didn't really kind of pull it off and they would kind of provide their pitches or fixes for it. And it was great. Really loved that podcast. And I must have listened to like 100 episodes of that thing. And I'd done like, I think, 3 or 4 episodes of the Novel Analyst Show. And I thought, oh, I got nothing to lose. I'm just going to ask this guy if he wants to come on and be interviewed. And this was like, you know, one of my biggest writing heroes at the time. Young Australian author, like only a few years older than me, but already had a few things published. He said yes, so he came on. That's right. That's right. 1 year older than me, being 14. And yeah, like he came on and I was like losing my mind to talk with him. And there were so many times where he would be talking and I would be like thinking, wow, this is a really great episode of Movie Maintenance that I'm listening to. And then he would stop talking and I'd wait for one of the other co-hosts of that podcast to come in and start talking with him. And then when no one said anything, I realized,
awkward pause.
Oh, hang on. I'm actually in this episode and I'm not just listening. I have to say a question now. And that's why if you go back and listen to that episode, there's a lot of like big long pauses after he says something. And then me saying, oh, interesting. That's really cool. While my brain is just madly scrambling to come up with a question for it. And yeah,
just blame the internet. It was the internet. I've got a lag.
Yeah, that's right. I'm like, oh, sorry, the internet's really slow. That's strange. I saw someone walk in the background behind you. No, internet's slow. Not my brain. But yeah, he's been awesome. And I've interviewed him like about 5 times since. So
nice.
Obviously didn't stuff it up too bad. No. Or maybe I did and he just feels no, like, sorry.
But also, no, you told me something about the first time that you, I think you interviewed Rob as God, well. Yes. Tell me
about
that.
Do you remember this, Rob? Do you remember the first time I interviewed you was on the
Rob's
Novel
old.
Analyst
he doesn't
podcast.
Remember this.
Yeah. I drink and, a lot as well.
There was like a lightning storm.
My brain's gone to shit help. Since I started making candles.
it's all the beeswax fumes. It just gets in your head.
Just gets
yeah, there was
man.
A thunderstorm.
But yeah, this was
there?
Like, yeah, and like it cut out, and I think I had to call you on my phone. Like I had to get Skype on my phone, call you, and then record you on another phone, just coming out of my other phone, and the audio quality was absolute garbage because of that. And yeah. I don't know why you agreed to let me interview you in the future after that performance.
It's I don't know. Chaos. It's just somebody said, do you want to come back on a podcast? I'm like, fuck it, why not? I don't know. Yeah, sure. I made this this deal with I say it was with my missus. It wasn't. It was a deal with myself. I just sort of like told her about it, and it was this. It was a few years ago, and I was just like, I will not say no to anything that has the possibility of like furthering my career within reasonable circumstances. You know, if somebody asked me to do porno, I'm not going to do it. But,
what?
So sign up to the Wizards Warriors and Words podcast, only fans.
Yeah. So if
what
somebody
about the
like,
porn that we
says
did?
Like, come on a podcast, I would say yes, because my instinct was to say no, because it scares me. But the sort of like the deal I made was just like, no, I will say yes, because it, even if it's a small chance, if it has a chance of furthering my career and it scares me, I don't care. I'll just say yes and I'll do it. So that was probably why, because, you know, I just thought, hey, he gets 10 listeners. Maybe I'll get one of those to turn into a reader.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think
hey,
that's
for
a very...
an hour and a half investment of time, you get about $3. Which is actually pretty decent writer income.
Yeah. Pretty good for a writer.
Well below minimum.
To be honest, it's about one know, part with like, you know, Black Library.
Yeah. I do the same thing though. Same. Like if somebody text interviews, those I will often turn down now because it's always the same questions and they're really fucking boring.
Yeah.
But anytime somebody wants to do like a podcast or recorded like interview, those I like basically will always say yes to, just because I mean they most of them are kind of fun now.
Mm-hmm.
Most
now that I don't care, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've done some shitty ones, to be honest. Though I remember one. I can't even remember whose it was now, but he spent the entire time talking about
don't
his own
say
books.
The name.
And I was like, why did you invite me on? Like he admitted, like, oh, I've never even read one of your books. And then he just spent the entire time talking about his own. And I'm just sat there going, oh, yeah, that sounds interesting.
Wow. That's that's a big no-no if you're a podcast host out there.
Just yeah, it's like I've never interviewed anyone without having read their books, because for me that just feels like fucking sacrilegious to be like, I'm going to talk to you about shit I don't know. And it's like, what's the point then, you know? That author can smell the shit smeared all over your face because you didn't read any of their work. It's like, it's so obvious.
Well, that's the good thing about, we have four people. So one of us has always read one of our guests, at least one of our guests' books.
Yeah.
So I don't think we've ever had someone on who at least one or two of us haven't read.
Yeah, some of that's accurate. I definitely haven't read the books of everyone we've interviewed, and I wish I had time to. But it's just I think, you know, as long as someone from us knows that author, that kind of guides our conversation and it allows us to know what to ask about and everything. So, plus also it's kind of nice because then sometimes we get people on and, you know, Dirk, Mike and Rob are asking amazing questions about their book. And I'm like, wow, this sounds sick. I got to read this. And then that's how you find some awesome authors.
It is quite fun.
I remember last week's Mike Carey episode for me.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. That's just it. We've had like Mike Carey on. I was like, to be honest, I've never read anything that he's done. I've watched The Girl with All the Gifts and Girl that's with about all the it. Gifts. But then like we had Brian Staveley on. I was like, I've read everything of yours. I love you.
And I have read almost everything of Mike Carey's except for the one series that my sister just read and absolutely loved. So,
and now you feel empty inside because you haven't.
I did. Well, I admitted that I hadn't read them, but I have them. I have them all. The Felix Caster series.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, it's like I've never read as much in my life as I have because of SFF Addicts. I think like already this year, I am at 40 full length or novellas at this point.
Dude.
That doesn't even include like, I'm doing like a reread of Sandman leading up to to the show. And it's just like, oh, I love that comic so much. But yeah, it's like I have read so fucking much. But then I've also become very in tune with like my reading habits. It's like I'll usually read three books at once, one of which is usually a comic. But it's like I'll read one physical book and then I'll have something on my Kindle, which I read while I'm on the elliptical, like working out. Because I don't want to become like a big sausage man and I want to stay somewhat
looking
fit.
At one of us when you said that.
I'm looking at Jed like the fittest on the podcast.
God damn. That's you good. I need Jed that insecurity to drive
you,
me in the
you
gym.
You and Jed and your sausages, guys. Yeah. Geez.
They're why really good, man. Today? Sausages are delicious. but it's like, you know, I really like it. It adds so much to me for every podcast that I do. And it's like, I've actually read your work and we can have a really good conversation about it and dig into like some of the nuances there. And then I can see the passion on that author's face as they light up. Like, you know, Dirk, you were talking about meeting William Gibson. My sort of like wobbly legs moment was interviewing Fonda Lee and then having her on again for like two subsequent panels. And I'm just like, holy shit. Like, I'm just like talking to Fonda Lee, you know? And then when the conversation gets really casual and then, you know, like the laughs start coming out in a natural way, it's just like, that is why that's I best. Podcast. That is like why I love doing this because, you know, when everyone is in a rhythm and things feel very comfortable to the point where it's like, you can laugh and that sort of self-serious nature that a lot of podcasters have just vanishes. That's when like, it clicks for me. And I imagine that's when it clicks for a lot of listeners too, when they're listening to this and it's like, oh yeah, this is really like, you know, like Mike said, it feels very like manufactured, blah, blah, blah. And then it gets to a point where everyone's very calm and relaxed and just, you know, laughing casually, like impulsively where it doesn't feel forced. That to me is just the gold of podcasting because it's like, that's like having a real fucking conversation with a human being and we're doing it virtually and this is the best that we can accomplish. But that to me is like, cool. I get my social fix, you know, during a pandemic from just talking to these authors or like talking to you guys or, you know, doing these things that are, you know, never really outside of my comfort zone because I have a background in music journalism. That's what I was doing during university. I was just like going to music festivals and concerts and interviewing artists, which is really fun. It was very, that to me like prepared me for podcasting because I was very, you know, fanboying a lot, meeting a lot of these musicians. Like I remember going to a music festival in Washington and I interviewed, there were two interviews that I did that just kind of like blew me away. Like, I'm actually doing this. I don't know if you guys have heard of the band Block Party.
Yes. Yes.
They're from the UK, but I interviewed the lead singer of that band.
Nice.
Cool.
That's pretty cool.
So I interviewed the lead singer of that band, and I just had this moment where I'm just like, we're all human, because he smelled like BO.
What were you expecting him to smell like?
I don't know, fucking like flowers in heaven. I don't know what I was expecting.
How close did you get?
Maybe that's what heaven smells like, BO.
We were sitting next to each other on a couch.
And, Adrian does very intimate interviews, guys.
Yeah.
He gets right up in the grill.
Like Dirk and Rob just like snuggling for the weekend.
That's it. He's got one last to be music. And he has to get both their mouths close to it.
Dude, he smelled very strong. Go ahead, Mike.
BO is music standard. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I worked in the music industry recording and stuff for 15 some odd years or more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stinky is normal.
It's normal.
Flowers, yeah, that's rare.
That's
I was going to ask. Strange. I was going to ask if you ever interviewed Michael R. Fletcher when he was on.
Who the hell is that? Who's Michael R. Fletcher?
I realized that was back in the 80s and you weren't even born yet.
Ooh. I was not in a band in the 80s. It was in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, okay,
that's it.
Grunge. So I was like 10. Yeah,
grunge.
But
nah,
yeah,
it was metal, but you know, whatever.
But like, he smelled like BO, and then I was just kind of like, that immediately just evaporated any sense of sort of like anxiety on my.
He stank so bad, your fanboy died.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much, man. And then after that, I interviewed Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros. Which is like a huge band, but they're like a bunch of hippies, so of course they smelled too. So this is like, I think like smell just kind of
a theme here.
Just kind of like demolished any sense of anxiety I had with talking to people. Cause it's like, yeah, whatever fucking vanity you have in terms of, you know, fame or that kind of thing. And in the fantasy and sci-fi world, it's like there is fame and there is, you know, this sort of like status, but I think a lot more people are humble about it. Like, you look at Joe Abercrombie and he's like, he's super chill and he doesn't care that he's a best-selling author next to, you know, us. But there's just this sense of comfort that I developed, and I think that really applied well to podcasting, because it's like I just transferred that over and I didn't have any anxiety meeting people like Hugh Howey or like having these conversations and leading a conversation and that kind of thing. It all just felt super natural. And now I think I've sort of surpassed that hurdle of being a host who doesn't feel comfortable in the shoes of being a host. And Jed, it's like, I hear the same from you, because you guys are just having such like, it sounds like you guys are just like hanging out in Dirk's basement drinking and having a conversation. And for me, that's the appeal of the podcast. It's like, okay.
Anytime, guys. Come anytime. On.
He's actually kidnapped us all. We're all in like different parts of his basement. You're not allowed to leave.
Yeah, please let us out.
with Fletcher dust sprinkled everywhere, of course.
Who do you think writes my books?
My slaves. Yeah,
Dirk's too busy renovating to write his books.
speaking of stinky hippie musicians, are you guys old enough to remember Patchouli?
I have no idea who that is.
Never heard of that.
No.
Or what it is?
You mean
is?
The band or what hippies used to hide the fact they're smoking dope?
and BO, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, dope.
Was it like a deodorant or something?
And patchouli, it's a perfume, basically.
Okay.
And it's so nasty all by itself. It's
yeah. Or burnable incense. Yeah.
Oh. Oh.
That seems to defeat the purpose.
When you said that at the beginning, I thought that was a musician. So that just flew right over.
Me too. That was where my mind went to as well.
You can still buy it. It's still around, but it's like a perfume oil thing.
Yeah. Oh man. But Jed, I wanted to ask you and like ask all of you guys, like, you know, when you were starting the podcast, why was writing advice the thing that you wanted to focus on? Because it's like, for me, obviously, like I
wanted to learn how to write.
Yeah. I'd love to know like, the answers. I still haven't found them out.
But, like, why was that the theme that you guys went with?
Rob, do you want to start?
Mike,
you go.
I don't think we're a writing advice podcast. I know it, but that's like
Jed pitches it as that.
I know, but we're like, it's not like we give advice. We talk about it and we talk around subjects, and occasionally we actually manage to be on point, but that's kind of rare.
Yeah.
We are a babble about writing, podcast. It's not advice, because none of us know what the fuck we're doing.
It's a writing conversation podcast.
I mean, like, I would never give someone writing advice other than, like, put your ass in the chair and fucking write.
Mm-hmm.
We give options and alternatives, but
yeah.
We babble
about how we do shit, and we ask people how they do shit.
Prescriptive about this is the way it should be done. Mm. So we just throw out from our experience what's worked.
We're basically a writing adjacent podcast, because we don't really hand out. We occasionally hand out some bits of advice. We interview other authors. We occasionally just have game shows or Fletcher episodes, which are I don't even know how to describe a Fletcher episode.
Episode's my favorite. I love magic. Them.
His name describes them. Fletch God Apocalypse.
Yes. I should start. So, I don't know. Sorry for the interruption. I'm going to start writing Fletch God Apocalypse in the episodes instead of Michael R. Fletcher. It's like, I don't know why I didn't do that from the beginning.
That should actually be his writer name. He should just give up on the Michael R. Fletcher and just be Fletch God Apocalypse.
There's too many Michael Fletchers out there, you know, but Fletch God Apocalypse is far more distinct.
Fletch God Apocalypse would work if you were writing progression fantasy or lit RPG on road.
Yes.
That's true. You could name yourself anything.
Definitely.
Like, there was somebody who named themselves No One. That's their author name.
Yeah.
No, that's Nobody, amazing. I think. But it's spelled with a one in the name. Yeah, but it's spelled with a one in there somehow. I don't know how the one gets in there.
Then it would be no
it's
one.
A zero. Yeah.
You're a writer. You know how words work.
that's Mother of Learning, isn't it?
Yes, which is huge. And it's by Wraith Mark as well. Yeah.
Absolutely huge.
Yeah.
Nobody 101 or nobody something something.
Something like that, yeah. Which is interesting. To answer your question, Adrian, I think maybe it's a matter of semantics. I definitely would consider us to be a writing advice podcast. Like, and I think that the best writing advice is... No, I think I agree with them. Like, I think that we do talk more about less prescriptive stuff and more about, like, hey, this has just been my experience with this thing, and here's some general mindset things that are useful. And I think that is really the best, not the best writing advice, but like that is really important. And that is like kind of the rule zero for learning how to be a writer, is to realize that like there are all these different people out there that are doing it in their own totally unique way. And they will all tell you to do the exact opposite of each other. You know, Stephen King will say, don't use a notebook, because if you have to write an idea down to remember it, it's not good enough. And then there's other authors that are like, you need to write 300 pages worth of notes before you even start to think doing your first chapter, because otherwise your world won't feel detailed and rich enough. And
or you have to write every day, or you have to do this.
All these different things, right?
Do that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think
that
really,
I think the content is what has garnered us as many readers as we've gotten, because it's certainly not our personalities.
Yeah, those are really
we're doing something right. We're doing something right.
I was gonna
fucking shining
to, like,
rainbow.
Close
I'm
this point,
beautiful.
I would say that,
come on.
Actually, it's Rob's pretty face that they come for.
They come for the beard. They come for the beard.
They come for the beard. The tavern style beard. And I would say, like, I think we're pretty open with the fact that there's like there are no secrets, and there's no like magic bullet for succeeding as a writer, and our podcast can't give you that. But if you do sign up to our Patreon and give us money, then we will give you the magic bullets and the magic secrets. So that's
fucking
where it comes
shameless
in
plug.
Yes. No. But in all seriousness, I think that like the stuff that I have benefited the most from is I've definitely benefited from reading books like Structuring Your Novel by K.M. Wyland, where she very prescriptively goes through and says, this is how to do a particular type of structure. At this percentage mark, this thing's happening,
Save
and
the
I've
Cat.
Also, I haven't read Save the Cat, so I can't comment on that one. But I have also benefited a lot from listening to people like Mike, who say, yeah, I just kind of make it up as I go along. And, if I'm stuck, I don't like force it through. And here are some general mindset things that are useful. And yeah, I think both of those have their place and they're really useful. So I think that's sort of, why I find talking about this stuff fascinating, and particularly the mindset stuff, I think is really important, because like people can tell you how to structure a book or how to write interesting characters, but like what's a lot harder to deal with is like, how do you keep doing this after years and years of like not getting the results you want? Or what happens if you do get the results you want and now you have to deal with expectations and, you know,
sequels,
the perils of success and everything. And that's
the
like
rush of success and
that's
fame.
That's it. Yeah, intoxicating lifestyle every day. Of fame.
And that's where Dirk comes in and says, how are you holding up?
How are you holding up, buddy?
Are you dealing with fame okay?
Yeah.
I remember when I first started writing, my wife was like, kind of worried, like, what happens if this actually works and you actually become famous? Mm-hmm. Like, is this, like, what, this could be, like, negative impact. This could be, you know, difficult.
Oh, and you've handled it very well.
Yeah, right. I'm like, name a famous fantasy author. And she's like, we'd watched Game of Thrones on TV, so she knew George R. R. Martin. And I'm like, would you recognize him in a grocery store?
Yeah.
She's like,
no.
Like the most famous one on the entire planet could walk past her in a grocery store. I'm like, and I will never, ever, ever be anywhere near that. I think it's going to be fine.
Yeah. Don't have to worry about those writing groupies.
It's like, there's nobody.
No one has ever recognized.
Nobody recognizes George Railroad Martin. Like, nobody recognizes him. He looks like a fisherman or like a railroad conductor. It's like, he's.
But you live that one moment in your life where somebody's just going to come up to you and go, are you Michael R. Fletcher? And you'll be like, yes! I've made it!
Oh my God, yes!
But also, what are you doing in my house?
Yeah, like, are you a weird stalker?
I get recognized from the tiny roles that I had when I was acting in L.A. in the 1990s today more than I ever get recognized for my.
Tell them about your Men in Black movie.
Truck Stop Zombie number 5.
Yeah.
Dirk was in the first Men in Black movie, in case you
really
aren't aware of that. Yeah.
What?
For about four seconds.
It's critical 4 seconds though. The movie falls apart without those 4 seconds.
So you met Will Smith before he started slapping people.
Yep.
Actually, Dirk was the reason why he started slapping people. He looked at Dirk and thought some people deserve to get hit.
He and Jada were really cool. He just walked right over on set and introduced himself to me.
That's pretty sick.
It was awesome. And Jada was with him and he's like 8 feet tall and she's like 4 feet tall. So.
And Dirk's right in the middle.
Yeah. Tommy Lee Jones was not as nice. Uh-huh. Maybe he was having a bad day. That's not fair. But
he
should have asked him, how's it going?
He's like the quintessential grumpy dude though.
Yeah. Yeah.
He has been paid to play grump for the last 3 decades. No,
he's,
that is true.
In that case, it's like he's paid to be himself. He's just inherently grumpy. Yeah. I'm method acting for my whole life.
Yes.
Being a grumpy fucker.
But it's really funny when you're on a set and somebody like Will Smith introduces themselves. Hi, I'm Will Smith. I'm
And you're like, I know.
No shit.
How are you holding up, Will?
What? You're Will Smith?
You're like, no, I don't think so. Will Smith looks totally different.
Yeah, see, that's another time where you can introduce the power move by just saying, never heard of you, and walk away.
Yeah. But I'm Dirk Ashton, soon to be author of the Paternus trilogy.
Now, that was a long time before I even thought about Paternus.
I wanted to ask you guys another question, like in terms of, you put out so-called writing advice, whatever, writing adjacent, whatever you want to call it. But how do you feel that writing suggestions? How do you feel that the podcast feeds into like the sci-fi, fantasy, and self-pub communities? Because you guys are so much more like well-known within the self-pub crowd.
I think before this I wasn't, and this is now the reason why. Like, just to give you a really easy example of this, when I was trying to get people to review Across the Broken Stars, which is the like second novel that I published, it was such an uphill battle. I probably reached out to, I don't know, like 50 different reviewers and blogs, and maybe like 5 of them said yes, we'd like a free copy to review it. And when I was trying to promote Siege of Treblin, which is the most recent release I've done, I reached out to like probably 10 or 15 people, yourself amongst them, and pretty much everyone said yes. And I think it was because of this podcast. Like, they'd heard my name from it before. I even had, I think it was like on Bookborn's channel, she did a review of Siege of Treblin that was great. Yep. And She was like, oh yeah, Jed Hearn's pretty well known in the self-published fantasy community. And I was like, what? That's news to me. Never heard this one before. But yeah, apparently like that's what the podcast has done. So I don't know if it's, you guys are like more established. So you probably didn't experience like,
I just got really lucky at the SBFBO. Right. My book just came out. Literally.
Well, you wrote a great book.
The day that I entered, and I was like 298 or 299 out of 300 cutoff.
Wow.
For the entrance.
Wow, dude.
That's huge.
And then I was a finalist and got third. So that's the only reason I know anyone.
Mm-hmm.
That is pretty huge.
I mean, what year was that? I don't know if the podcast
2016.
Sort of like, I would assume it has increased, I wouldn't say popularity, but recognizability, I guess, for me. But what I do know is we fairly regularly have people recognize us online on Facebook groups, on Twitter or on Reddit or whatever, and say, oh, you're one of the WWW boys, you know, Wizard of Oz and Burst boys. And it's like, oh, your podcast
Triple
has really
dub.
Helped me. Yeah. But it's yeah. It's nice because like the number of times people say like your podcast has actually really helped me sort of like get through this or, you know, knuckle down and get my book written or anything like that. And that's awesome because it's like, well, that's kind of the reason that we exist, I suppose. Yeah. That like the reason the podcast does exist is to do that sort of thing. So that's
I know for a fact that when I did my last Kickstarter, there were a ton of people that were telling me, "Oh, I found out about this from the podcast."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know.
Well,
I'm editing the podcast
on Reddit Progression Fantasy about my latest release, Titan Hoppers, which released a few days ago. You should read it. One of the guys who responded said, I thought I recognized your name. You're one of the Wizards, Warriors, and Words lot. And it's like, yeah. So I suppose it definitely has helped to catapult our names into the stars.
Into the fan,
maybe low
the fame,
stratosphere.
The fame of self
stars yet. That's it.
but now that I'm editing the podcast, it's like I see the YouTube comments and stuff like that. Because I just take a cheeky look sometimes. Yeah.
No, go for it.
And you know, I see the comments that people are leaving, and it's just like, like I was going through this particular problem, or it's really good to hear that you guys are, you know, suffering from the same sort of like fighting woes as me and that kind of thing. But your discussion of it helped me, you know, because like you say, it's never like, it's always suggestive as opposed to prescriptive. It's like, this is what we're doing and that's what works for us. And maybe someone else takes that and they take this little tidbit from one bit and then a tidbit from someone else, or, and just kind of like accumulate it into this like amoeba of whatever the fuck their writing personality is and how that works for them. And that for me is like the coolest thing about what you guys are doing.
Thank you.
I do wonder, because I mean, I don't
really
listen
that.
To
and
a
yeah,
lot
I think
of
it's awesome when we hear stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't listen to a lot of other writing podcasts myself, but I imagine most of a sort of writing podcast, they advice podcast, they do actually give advice. Whereas a lot of the time episodes that we've done have been like, you know, talking about you know, burnout and the like, and just how we've gone through it and how it's affected us or whatever, any other subject like that, which is obviously a lot different to just like, hey, this is how you write a prologue or whatever. So I imagine in some ways it's helpful in very different ways to a more standard writing advice podcast.
Yeah.
And that's what I think I wanted to create with this is like, not so much, because that, to your point, Rob, like I didn't see a lot of other podcasts out there that were like giving you that really raw, unfiltered glimpse into what it was like to be a writer, like both all of the great things that come with it and then also all of the difficulties and the struggles that come with it. And I think like that's something that we've sort of gone towards really great. And for me personally, my favorite episodes we've done have been Fletcher's Chaos episodes, where we talk about things like happiness and, you know, trying to like find fulfillment in writing and stuff. And like, that's the kind of thing I love discussing. The search for Steve.
We need to do another one of those.
We need to do another one of those for sure.
We haven't
and I think,
done
like,
one for a while.
I love those so much because it's like, this is
Jed
just
has to pay me more to
the
edit
stuff
those
I would
want to
hear.
The
yeah.
Chaos episodes.
They're just so chaotic that it explodes Adrian's editing computer.
Just like, oh,
but yeah, that's why I really appreciate you doing those episodes for us, Mike, because like, that's the kind of stuff that I think is truly valuable, for the same reason that like, you can't see behind me, but I've got a ton of biographies from like Stephen King, Bruce Springsteen, even like Matthew McConaughey, Arnold Schwarzenegger. And like, they're all different creatives in a sense. But I think the biggest benefit that you get from reading those biographies, apart from them just being fascinating storytellers, is like, you really get to see all of the parts of the creative life, like all the good parts, all the bad parts. And yeah, just like getting that insight into it allows you to like be so much better when it comes to shaping your own journey as a writer. Cause you're kind of like, oh, it's not enough to just aim for, you know, tons of sales. I've got to actually think about if I'm enjoying what I'm producing and, you know, all those sorts of things.
Cause it's not like you're just ending, you're viewing the end product and to be like, Arnold Schwarzenegger is super jacked and I want to be jacked like that. Without taking steroids, maybe, but
he definitely takes steroids.
He definitely takes steroids. Yeah. But it's like you need to see like all the ingredients in the cake and the process with which it comes together before just viewing it and being like, oh, that looks tasty as hell. I'm just going to shove my fat face into it. But it's like podcasting is the same thing. It's like, for me, it was really eye opening to be like, okay, I'm going to start a podcast. I've never edited audio or video before. So I learned all of that on a plane ride to Spain. Last August, my brother-in-law is studying in Pamplona, and I was chaperoning him because I have a Canadian passport and Ecuadorian visa processes are the worst. So my in-laws just said like, can you take him? And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll go to Spain. But the plane ride was like 11 hours. So I had 11 hours. And I just pulled up, I downloaded a bunch of YouTube tutorials on audio and video editing. And I just edited that episode with Hugh Howey and Duncan Swan during that plane ride. And I figured out how to video edit, how to audio edit, and how to like work with levels and all this different shit. And it's just like, when it comes to a podcast, if you want to put a podcast out on audio form, or if you want to put it out in video, or both, or just one or the other, whatever, there's so much more that goes into it than you think. And then on top of that, it's like, there's graphic design. Thankfully, I have a history with graphic design, and I've used like Photoshop and Illustrator just like in my tattoo work as well. And it's like all these different things just kind of like commingling to be like, okay, I can, you know, do all the graphics for my podcast and create like an Instagram and a you know, Twitter presence that feels a bit more like visually interesting, you know, isn't so bland or anything like that. And so it's like all of this stuff just kind of commingling together, and for people to realize like even a single episode of Wizards, Warriors and Words, it's like there's so much more that goes into it than they think. It's Jed's prep, it's you guys sitting down and recording and having the conversation. It's me downloading all the files and editing the audio, editing the video, putting together like a YouTube thumbnail, all this different stuff. And then the end product that you get is like, that's the best that we could produce for you. But, you know.
I like the way you make it sound like we're actually prepared for any of this. We just roll up and talk shit for like half hour. That's it. That's it for us.
I was going to say, my preparation the best. Is pretty minimal.
No, I mean, it's
for
like.
For the first year, Jed was like, oh, I'm going to send you the show notes for the upcoming episode and the questions, and here's what we're going to talk about an entire year. And we're like, no, not going to. And the episode would start and we'd all be like, so what's happening today?
Exactly. That's, we still do that.
I mean, that was basically today. But I think to your point, Adrian, it's like, it's kind of, okay, this is very arrogant to compare us to this person, but like, there's this great story about Picasso sitting in some cafe and someone getting him to draw a piece of art on a napkin, and it takes 30 seconds to draw the piece of art. And then they're like, oh, can I have this? And he goes, yeah, for $50 million. And the person loses their mind. They're like, that took you 30 seconds to draw that. Like, and that can't be worth $50 million. And he says in classic Picasso fashion, like, yes, but it took me, may have only taken 30 seconds to draw that piece of artwork, but it took me 30 years to learn how to draw it in 30 seconds. Yeah. So give me the $50 million. And, I think to some extent, like, that's why the podcast is so fun for us to do, because we've all been writing for a very long time and it means that we don't really have to prep. Like, we can just sort of come on, and because we're so immersed in this kind of world of, you know, fantasy writing and fantasy reading, like, we, you know, have almost done like decades of prep in a sense, even though we like,
I like, don't, I like his spin this. Rather than we're just too fucking lazy to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is really much more of the truth.
Yeah. It's that too. Yeah. It's that too. But,
Jed's just trying to prop it up, man.
We all came about this through different journeys. So we have lots of different experiences to bring to the overall narrative.
Would you say
that we're forming within this podcast?
Would you say this is a progression podcast?
Oh god! What do I have?
Yeah, we're.
I am definitely not leveling up.
Dirk down. Is just—he's just static. Just static.
Yeah.
But
well, what, if you look at our stats, about, Adrian, our best episode was our first episode in terms of listenership.
That's how it always is. So, that's how it always. And then everyone just like, oh fuck these guys. Let me get out.
So if you made it three seasons with us, yeah, like maybe just
you're have crazy a think
about what that means. Yeah. No, cheers.
All right, I just want to throw a little bit of something maybe useful. Ooh. People could use.
Yes,
reading those autobiographies and biographies are like hugely
waste of time.
Inspirational to me.
Yeah,
and I read, agreed, you know, because I'm a film guy. I've read a lot of like filmmakers' autobiographies, and they're like, again, they show all the good and all the bad. And here are my favorites. We could put them in the show notes. If
yeah, please
send
do
them to you. Something Like an Autobiography by Akira Kurosawa.
Mm.
Emerald Forest Diary by John Borman. Just Tell Me When to Cry by Richard Fleischer. I think it's called Magic Lantern by Ingmar Bergman. Those are just amazing and just so much fun to read. Kurosawa talking about drinking beer for breakfast on the shoot, and then whiskey, and then sake for lunch, and then whiskey they'd save for dinner.
Jesus.
Every
the original
day.
Michael Fletcher.
Yeah, just great stories of like Borman talking about getting to meet Kurosawa and what they talked about, and Fleischer talking about sitting, and some old man was at a bar, in a dark bar in Hollywood. They were talking about film, and his film had just got Fleischer's father was one of the Fleischer brothers who did the Superman cartoons way back when.
Huh.
And he was just talking to this old man, and the guy kept calling him, I can't remember what he was. Oh, Doug. And he didn't know who he was. And it turned out, at the end, he found out it was D.W. Griffith, who he was talking to about what a bummer it was to have films get trashed, like, you know, Birth of a Nation.
Yeah.
So it's just really fun stuff like that. And also crazy. Really inspiring too.
Yeah. And that's the kind of stuff is like, you can just take I don't think anything is broadly like applicable from one life to another. It's like, you have to have your own experiences you have to have everything that makes you who you are. And this applies to whether you start podcasting or writing or whatever creative endeavor you go into. It's like, whatever your passions are, all that kind of stuff, it's a result of your accumulative experience. And you can't say like, oh, I want to look at like George R. R. Martin and I want to be the next him. It's like, fuck off. That's impossible, because he's him and you are you, and whatever path you take is going to be different, and you could never emulate anyone so directly. It's like, you have to take pieces of information or experience from someone else.
You have to steal from a bunch of people.
Yeah. That's
right. You have
to be like a Frankenstein thief as opposed to just like a direct copy of anyone. Yep. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah.
And you just choose your parts. Yeah. As you go along, you just discard one part and put on another one.
Exactly. And as authors, as like creatives, it's like we're wearing many masks. We're just a bunch of fucking frauds. Like, there's like so many different faces that you kind of have to put on. But I think what works for you guys is like keeping it as genuine as possible. You know, like I love that Dirk just like scratches his beard and like takes a puff of his like e-cigarette or whatever the hell he's smoking over there. It's like, you guys play it very natural, and I think that genuine nature is what attracts people to listen or watch, you know. And for me, it's like doing my podcast, I just like I told people from the very beginning, it's like, if you want to swear, swear, because I swear a lot and that's just the nature of the beast. And it's like, if anyone wants to like censor themselves, for me, that's already like a roadblock that just makes things feel less natural because they have to think more about what's coming out of their mouth. It's like when it is more conversational, when people speak more truthfully, and especially as authors, when it's like, these are things that we love. So speaking truthfully about it is like Rob said earlier, you know, how often do we get the opportunity to just nerd the fuck out with people who are within our creative field? Like, that's really, really cool. And any roadblock that you put up there just impedes someone's ability to speak as truthfully as they possibly can. And it's like, if you, for me, it's like, if anyone wants to start a podcast, the best thing, the best advice that I would give them, you know, take it or leave it, best suggestion that I could give them is just like, pick a topic that you are super passionate about and set it up in the way that is most natural to you with as little roadblocks as possible that will make things feel like, to prevent things from feeling too manufactured, because there's just already way too much manufactured shit out there. So I feel like people are aching for stuff that feels more real, like a bunch
aching.
Of aching. Yeah. They're aching for Rob's beard and a good conversation.
Aren't we all? Aren't we all?
Do any of you have any advice or suggestions in terms of like someone who wants to get started in podcasts?
Oh, find yourself a Jed.
Yeah.
Find someone who's young and still actually
young and
interested
and passionate,
active, and like, yeah,
who will actually
cares about things.
Who will actually
to
do
all the work.
Yeah.
And so, because you need to be able to like slump in your chair, kind of show up on time, not know what's happening.
Mike with his bad posture.
And, grunt occasionally.
Yeah.
It's a great parasitic relationship we've got going on here.
Basically just Marlon Brando
towards the end of his career. Yeah, if you can.
I mean, Fletch God Apocalypse. Fletch God Apocalypse Now?
Yeah.
No, it's a Flesh God. Apocalypse is a metal band. It's a heavy metal. Oh my God. Children, kids these days not listening to metal. I bet you don't do drugs either.
Oh, dude, I do so many drugs.
I'm appalled. I was going to say, you're writing a whole book about mushrooms right now.
Do you see the mushroom people behind me?
It's very questionable.
All right.
Sorry, Mike.
Continue. I can't remember what we were talking about.
Yeah, sorry, Mike. You were talking about
distracted.
Your
advice. Get yourself a Jed.
Yeah.
If you want to start a podcast, but you don't want to do anything, which is kind of, I actually don't want to start a podcast or even be on one, but here we go.
That's how persuasive I am, folks.
Yeah. I don't even know why I'm here.
Yeah.
This is, we're into 3 years
sleep
of this.
Right now.
We don't either.
Forces me into it every
I'm
week.
Confused. Where am I?
Let me go. Man. Let the hostages go. What about you, Rob? By the way, thanks for that, Mike.
I have no advice to get my
one annual compliment from you. That's the only compliment I'll get for the rest of the year. So I'm really going to treasure that. I'll clip that out. I'll frame it somehow. I don't know how I'll frame a video and an audio clip, but I'll work it. I'll work it out.
That's fine. You can get
I can send you like the thumbnail and then you can frame that.
Yeah. You get little portraits, but they're actually video screens, and they just like they play a video like a photograph.
Nice, and it just plays this on loop.
Find yourself a Jed, and Jed's just like, find yourself a Jed.
Yes, I found myself.
Yeah,
I'm so happy.
Ignore the rest. Remove the context. Just Fletcher saying, "Find yourself a Jed."
Find yourself a Jed.
That's it. That's the catchphrase of this
episode. Best advice I've ever given.
3 years of writing advice, and that's what it boils down to. Yeah, Rob, what about you?
I have absolutely no advice for how to start or do a podcast. Like Fletcher, I just fell into it because you invited me. You know, come on.
Yeah, nice.
Be yourself. Be yourself. Don't be nervous. That's it.
Do some practice episodes, some practice recordings before you release.
That's huge. Just record some with your friends. Like, don't. And it's easy.
No,
and,
just you know, turn up. Record it.
Throw yourself.
You were literally just saying, right?
It's easy.
It's better if it's natural, if it's real. So don't do practice episodes where you're just like, no. Let's make sure we've got this all sorted and perfect. No.
Let's it's make like writing a book. Just suck, and you'll slowly get better.
Fuck up every time.
Every
it's
single
worked
time.
For us. It works for us.
Three seasons on, and it's still happening.
Jeb, when you and I talked in March, you said that you just recorded some conversations with a friend talking about movies. I think it's like once you record something,
yes,
that, you know, there's like a certain like hurdle that you have to get over in your head in terms of hearing your own voice. And a lot of people, for me, like when I heard my own voice before, I was like, I fucking hate the sound of my voice. I just don't want to hear myself talk. But after a while, it's like, yeah, you kind of get over it. You never like love the sound of your own voice, but at least you kind of ignore it to a certain degree. So I think like doing some early recordings, investing in a decent microphone, that kind of thing is like, that'll get you over certain impediments that could stifle you later on. It's like, once you actually start releasing stuff, I think the earlier you get over that kind of shit, the better, because, you know, if you think too much about it, like I said earlier, you start to put up more roadblocks in your own ability to host or have a conversation or what have you. So if you're thinking too much about like, I'm speaking right now and my voice sounds like a donkey's asshole and I really hate it, and I don't love it, then it's like, why are you podcasting? You know,
smells like it too.
Yeah.
How does a donkey's asshole sound?
Cause I have to edit it. I have to edit it, Mike. I have to listen to you guys. I have to listen to myself.
You are
just use Mike's approach and listen to a lot of other people's voices in your head.
Sure. Yeah. All the demons inside his mind.
Imaginary voices.
Yes.
They're not imaginary.
I said they're demons, Dirk. They're demons.
Hey, they were paying the bills. They're the ones that tell you what to write, and you know, that kind of helps.
Yeah, and Jed, I'll finish off with this. What are you hoping for in terms of the future of Triple W, and like where this podcast is going?
Money, money, money.
World domination.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be great to reach the point where just every prime minister has to call us and let us know, you know, what their policies are going to be in advance, so we can influence it and get some more book sales through that. I think probably the thing that interests me the most over the next year or so of the podcast is really just getting some of those like bigger guests on. Like, it's been awesome to have some, like, I would say that some of my writing heroes have been on this podcast, like Adrian Tchaikovsky. Can't believe we got to chat with him. Yeah. You got to chat with him as well on your podcast.
He's super nice
too.
Yeah.
He's amazing. Anthony Ryan, and like Anthony Ryan, Mike Carey, who else? Tons. Mike Carey's sick. Yeah, there's just been so many great guests we've talked to. So I'd really, really love to just like, connect with some other authors that I really look up to as well.
If you want somebody's email, just to Brandon Sanderson.
Yeah.
Jed, if you ever want to have someone on, just look through my guest list and I'll pass you an email.
Cheers, dude.
And
make
if we ever get Brandon, we're gonna have, so one of us is gonna have to take over because Jed will just.
I was just thinking that Jed will just be a puddle on the floor going. Uh-huh.
Yeah,
I think Mike should host that episode.
Yeah,
just interrogating Brandon. So what the fuck do you think about Kickstarter, huh?
It's weirdly intensely aggressive.
Just
like, how many books like, are you doing next?
Ten secret novels now? What are you doing?
Ooh, it'll be the good cop, bad cop episode.
Yeah.
To do something like that.
What are we trying to interrogate him for?
We need to do one of those.
Yeah. Oh man.
So much internal censoring going on right now.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. I appreciate your allowing the faint thread of Sanderson ever appearing on this podcast to remain hanging and to not be severed by your merciless comments. So that's much appreciated. Yeah, I think the main thing is just, there's some projects in the future, which I won't go into like super detail, but like, I think the podcast is growing close to the point where they can happen, which would be cool. And yeah, I think just the main thing is trying to get some bigger guests on and trying to like, you know, grow our audience and everything so that we can get those guests to be more likely to, you know, come on, because it's so much better if you can say like, you know, hey, Joe Abercrombie, like it's going to be more than 10 people who are listening to you talk, like it'll be a couple thousand or whatever. That's probably the main thing. And then, yeah, I guess just like continuing to try to enjoy it as well and to try to like learn from each other and the other authors that we get on it.
You know, that's funny. I've never once had somebody I asked to be on the show say, so how many listeners do you have?
No, they me neither. Me neither.
Ever. Maybe it's just in my head then, and maybe I don't need to worry about it.
Yeah, it's just in your head.
I usually
I send them the link.
I said, if you want to torture yourself, this is where our podcasts are. And they just, I don't even know if they look. They're just like, okay.
Yeah. Fair enough. Okay, maybe that is just an internal roadblock that I have that I need to get over then. So
yeah.
Maybe that'll
work. Jed, I've realized that you're a very analytical guy. And so you look at things like growth strategies and numbers and all that.
Yes.
And when it comes to, like, from my experience, it's just like, yeah, you can look at some of that stuff, but I don't know. I think I got a little bit too wrapped up in it in the beginning, and then I just kind of decided, sure, like, no, go away, like, shoo, you stupid little, you know, like, because for me, it's like that's just another impediment that you can put into your head in terms of thinking, like, you know, something that is working and something that is growing, you can start to overanalyze it and just think, like, how can I improve the numbers and blah, blah, blah. And I think, like, yeah, like, I think more focus on the ideas as opposed to the numbers, and the ideas will, you know, translate into natural growth as the podcast is seen, you know, as opposed to, I don't know. I'm not a strategies guy. So sure. It's like anytime I hear like growth strategy, it's like, yeah, you sent me that voice message the other day and I was like, really, really good ideas. But I heard growth strategy and I just kind of like quivered.
Yeah. I mean, I love that stuff. I think that's another type of creativity that like it early on, I was very averse to. And then I think when I started, not so much for this podcast, but just for writing and other things in general, I was like, oh, this is actually kind of fun. Like, a lot of people hate marketing, and I think it's actually a really fun part of the creative process. Like, yeah, I would love to just, you know, make the art and then not have to worry about distribution and everything. But, you know, it is actually kind of fun to think about how you're going to get this to the people who will enjoy it and to, you know, make sure lots of people can listen to it. Cora the dog is on Rob's app.
Mike loves AMS ads. It inspires him.
Yeah, what was it? Friday, I finally launched. I think it was Friday.
Nice.
I had launched ads again, so we'll see what happens. I haven't looked at it yet because,
no,
but whatever.
Cora, yeah, we'll see how that goes.
For those of you who are just listening, Rob has a beagle on his lap.
Yes,
I do. Cute. Very cute. Little Cora dog.
Hi, Cora.
Beagle face.
Yeah. All right, guys. To end this off, I want each of you to share, you know, something about Wizards, Wars, and Words that you consider to be like the best thing that podcast and this whole experience has given you. You can get a sentimental and a romantic if you want to. We'll start with
just getting to snuggle next to Robin.
That's all I ever wanted.
Fletcher,
all I ever wanted.
Jed Hearn on a regular basis. That's the best part.
It truly is a privilege for Dirk.
Friendship.
Very fortunate.
Yeah. Mike, what about you?
I don't look at our Facebook page or Facebook, YouTube page. I've never watched an episode. I don't look at stats. I am mildly aware we might be on Spotify and some other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I have no idea if anyone ever listens to it. As far as I'm concerned, there are maybe three people. I don't actually know.
Me and Jen.
And it doesn't matter. I have fun doing these and have now for over 2 years.
Yep.
The only reason I am here and doing this is because I enjoy it. I actually look forward to doing these episodes with these guys. This is fun. And when it stops being fun, I'll be gone.
Yeah.
And but so it's not about selling books for me. It's not about growing. This is fun.
Yeah. Agreed.
That's why I'm here. That's the best thing about doing this is doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is hanging out with these nerds.
Oh, cheers, Mike.
Yeah.
Mike, you've given us two compliments in 1 year. What's going on?
I'm
getting soft in my old age.
I bring out the best in him.
No, I appreciate
he did
all Adrian.
He did come onto my podcast and tell me to shut up, so that says something. Stop nice. Interrupting yeah, me. Sorry, shut up.
That's only because you paid him a compliment and he doesn't like that.
Shut up. No, shut up is a make me shut up is a Mike compliment, as Crystal told me. So I appreciate it. Yeah.
Mike, you're pretty. Shut up.
Shut up.
Don't say that about
Crystal is so fucking positive.
Yeah.
Makes me, I want to throttle her.
Little farm girl. Jesus Christ.
You're really trying to balance out that positivity with a lot of
noise. Oh yeah. She's like, oh, so nice, so nice. I'm like, I call her
my boonie baby. I call her my boonie baby because she lives out in the middle of fucking nowhere and her internet connection sucks. And she went on a live stream with like Ryan Cahill and a couple other people. And she mentioned that, because her internet dropped out and she came back and be like, aha, Adrian calls me her boonie baby. And then Ryan thought she said booby baby and just like chaos ensued.
Yeah. Chaos ensued should be the tagline of our show.
Yep. Yeah.
So yeah. Rename it.
Rob, what about you?
No longer Wizards, Wars, and Words, which is chaos.
Chaos ensues. Rob, what about you? What's something special that Wizards, Wars, and Words has given you?
I mean, as I said before, I love it when people sort of like, come on,
syphilis.
Sorry, well, email us about this thing.
That's what you get from snuggling with Dirk on a weekend.
that's a perk, definitely. No, I love it when people say, like, this podcast has really helped me get over any this issue or something like that. And at the same time, yeah. I love meeting some of these authors who kind of like, are heroes. I absolutely loved it when Brian Staveley came on and we chatted with Will White.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was brilliant. It was just, you get to chat to other authors who have completely different ideas and roads, journeys, whatever, and mindsets. And it's just, it's great to get to chat with them and see how they approach things, how they deal with success and all sorts.
Yeah. And Jed?
Awesome.
Yeah, kind of what Rob and Mike, you both said, like in the sense of the amount of stuff that I've learned from doing this podcast has been ridiculous. And it's just been incredible to think that there's like a lot of authors' books on like the bookshelf behind me or on my Kindle or whatever. Like I've been able to actually meet those people, and particularly like living in Perth in Australia, which is like so far away from just everything else in the world. Like there's no way that I would have been able to, fly out to these conventions and meet you guys in person or meet these other authors in person. So the fact that like, we've created this thing that kind of allows, us to almost talk to pretty much any author that we want to talk to within reason is like so incredible and like very inspiring to me. The amount of times where I've felt like kind of struggling with my writing or, I've been really having a hard time with it or whatever. And then I've jumped on one of these calls with you guys and just, we may not have even talked about like the particular issues that I was struggling with or whatever, but just the enthusiasm and zest that you all have for writing is infectious. And like, I would come off that feeling really energized and with a lot of belief that like, oh, these are actually like all the people out there who I know who are doing this thing. And they're not like these mythical figures that are like, just totally on a different plane.
We aren't unicorns. We're real.
And we are mythical figures on a different plane.
I mean, you could be. Mike is a unicorn. So I never know. So that's probably like one of the best things. And then the other thing is like it sounds kind of sappy, but like you guys have been awesome. And I've learned so much about the kind of like, I suppose, other aspects of being an author in our group chat that we have where, like even recently, Mike, you've been talking about, oh, how do I like set up these ads or whatever? And, Rob and Dirk kind of chip in with their bits and pieces and talk about their experience. And like, that's been so useful to just see how you kind of approach the stuff that like is very hard to just talk about.
We did that and like all the audiobooks.
Mm. That's probably been the most useful thing is just that. And it's just really fun to like talk with other authors. There's not like, I don't really know like any authors who live in Perth that I kind of talk with regularly. And maybe there are, maybe I just don't know them, but it's really cool to have like a community of other people that are striving towards the same thing that you are and who can help you on your journey.
Yeah, I feel
I'm
the
using
same
this
way.
Podcast like here as a vehicle to try and meet more authors than my hat has met. Because my hat has met so many bloody authors.
Many
it
authors.
Got stolen from me at a convention. And it went round and it met like Joe Abercrombie, George R. Martin, Peter Brett, all of those. I never met any of them, but my hat did. So one day I'm going to meet more
You're just
authors
jealous,
than my
Rob.
Hat. You're I just am jealous.
We've met Peter B. Brett. We had him on the podcast. We had Peter on the podcast.
Did we?
What?
Rob wasn't there.
I wasn't.
No, I don't think I was there either.
Yeah.
I haven't.
Did we not have
no, we had Peter.
I swear we had
did you?
On the
are you tripping balls?
I swear we had him on
did
the
you
podcast.
Do, are you doing secret up? Episodes without us?
Jed's taking my mushrooms. What's going on, bud?
We had
surely
Anthony
we had
Ryan.
Him on the podcast. I swear.
No. Yeah. We've never had Peter Brett.
Haven't we? Let me. I'm looking this up. This is Warrior's words.
We can't even remember.
I have a terrible
memory. I thought we had
PvP
Brett on here.
We've not had PvP Brett on the podcast. I would have remembered, dude.
Sorry, guys. I was getting him confused with Peter McLean. My bad.
Okay. That's okay. We should try to get Peter on it.
Yeah. I'll try and get his email. I'll put you guys in touch.
Okay.
Hey,
cool.
Cheers, Adrian.
Yeah. But Jed, I feel the same way. It's like here in Ecuador, it's like if there are writers, they're Spanish. So they're writing in Spanish. So it's like, I don't know. I feel like
it's hard for you to sort of engage with that.
Yeah. Like I feel a bit of a disconnect in terms of like my aspirations as a sci-fi writer mixed with like my community around me in terms of like locality. Mm. But then the podcast has been the thing that has connected me with the community and I've been able to make friends. Same. It's like I have a writing group with two authors that I met through the podcast. It's like really, really cool stuff that I never thought would happen just based on the fact that it's like, oh, this guy runs a podcast. And I think people are just attracted to that idea of like conversation about things that we're all passionate and nerdy about. Yes, and so for me, that's just been amazing because I made those connections and I have that sort of like social community based around this. Whereas in physical reality, it's like, I don't have any of that around me. You know, it's like, I can't just go down to a cafe, like my friend Nicholas Eames and just like hang out with Ben Galley. And it's like, I can't do shit like that. Like it's a bummer, but at the very least is like, we have the opportunity with all this virtual stuff.
Have we had Nick Eames on yet?
No, we had Nick. We should get him on.
What?
Me and Nick go way back. We worked at a restaurant together and
no way.
Like 10, no, how long ago was it? Like 11 years ago, something like that.
Oh, wow.
So we've known each other for a long time. I knew him back when he was writing his Steven Erikson knockoff, and then he scrapped that and wrote Kings of the Wild. So,
really?
Yeah.
That is super cool.
I'm sure he would love to be on. Nick is a great guy. So
that would be fun.
Yeah. But Jed, Mike, Dirk, and Rob, I really appreciate you guys jumping on with me and talking about SFF podcasting and just being your fantastic clownish selves. And I'll leave it to Jed to close out the show in typical Wizards, Warriors, and Words fashion.
Sure thing. Yeah, thanks for having us on, Adrian. Pleasure, if you're man. Listening to this on Adrian's SFF Addicts feed and you have reached the end of this, then feel free to, you know, jump over and have a listen to a few Wizards, Warriors, and Words episodes. We've got over 100 now, and they are all as wonderfully chaotic and sometimes insightful as this one. So yeah, thanks for listening or watching, and we'll see you next week, I guess, if you're on the Wizards, Warriors, Words feed. I don't know when you're posting next, Adrian. Do you know what the next episode is for you?
This one on the 26th.
Yeah, nice. And what's coming up in the future?
Then we got the 1 year anniversary extravaganza. Nice. Which is going to be a live stream with a bunch of past guests, including Dirk and Rob and Mike. Jed, you're off in faraway land, so you'll be sleeping. But yeah, we're gonna have past guests on. It's going to be chaotic. It's going to be live stream. And we're just going to do a little catch up with each of them, maybe answer some listener questions and just shoot the shit and see how it goes. It's going to be like the most Wizards, Warriors, and Words type episode I've ever done. So I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
I think this is the true goal of Wizards, Warriors, and Words, to have our name like associated with just chaos on podcasts.
Yes. To infect the podcasting world with your chaos.
Yes.
Literally, that's our goal. Awesome. All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. See ya.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye. Ciao.
Bye.
As we end this episode, I wanted to give a big shout out to all our Patreons who help support the show, and an extra special shout out to our legendary wizard patrons, Taylan and Daniel. If you want to help support the show and get access to a huge library of exclusive patron-only episodes, go to patreon.com/wizardswarriorswords. You can find the link in the show notes below.